Awesome, awesome. Man, we love you guys. I was I came in April of 17, and just a few weeks, Ray was the youth pastor at the time, and just a few weeks later, they shared with Cindy and I that what God was calling them to do, and disappointed but yet so excited for them, and then just great to see how God is using them and building his kingdom through them and those that have partnered with them, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to partner with them. And so I just think it's pretty cool, and especially in this day that we see churches closing their doors. There are churches that are wounded, churches that are hurting, churches that are in decline, that are unhealthy, and it's encouraging, a breath of fresh air, to see someone like Ray and Abby starting a church, planning a church, young leaders that are investing in the gospel, in church planning, and building the kingdom of God. Amen. I get energized by that. So I think it's an exciting thing to see, and exciting to be able to be a part of it. I was thinking, as I said in there, looking at Ray, I was like, man, he's young enough to be my son. And he is, and yet he has more gray hair than I do. How about that? Yeah, huh? So I like that. And I don't color my hair, okay? I just want it to be known. All right, well, hey, I'm going to be in Psalm 98 this morning. Psalm 98. And with all the turmoil and negativity and chaos in our world and in our country these days, I thought, let's just be encouraged this morning by reflecting on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. When I say that, what comes to your mind? The goodness of God. Yeah, thank you. Okay, salvation. I want you to think about that. How would you answer that? And however you are answering that, I want you to keep it in your mind as we go through it this morning. But God is good all the time. And you guys know the drill. God is good all the time. Yeah, right. Very popular saying over the years. But it's true. God is good all the time. The book of Psalm is filled with praise to God. Praise by people like me and like you that were sinners and who were redeemed by God. It includes praise by the angels and all the hosts of heaven. It includes praise by all the kingdoms of the earth. And it includes praise by everything that has breath. It includes praise from his creation. I mean, what is it that he is being praised for when we look at the book of Psalm? It's his power over creation. It's his unmatchable holiness, his transferable righteousness, his incomprehensible greatness, his eternal goodness, his loving kindness, his unending mercy, his amazing grace, his forever faithfulness. How great is our God and worthy to be praised. This is what the book of Psalm is all about. And Psalm 98 is the only psalm titled a psalm. All the others are either not titled, or they're titled with maybe an author, like Psalm 101 that says a psalm of David, or maybe it's an occasion like Psalm 30, which says the dedication of the temple, or maybe it's directions like Psalm 100, which says for giving thanks. Psalm 98 is simply called a psalm. We don't know who the author is. We don't know the timing of when it was written, but what we do know is that it is packed with some incredible praise of the mighty work and the goodness of God's hands. It gives us some reasons why we are to offer praise to our God. Then the first one is this, because, and I heard it earlier, salvation, it's because God is Savior. Look at it with me in Psalm 98, beginning with verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked what? Salvation for him. The Lord has made known his what? Salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So three times in three verses, we see the word salvation. I've mentioned it before. I'll give it as a friendly reminder. As you're reading and studying Scripture, when you see something being, when something is being said in a repetitious way, a word, a phrase, a sentence, pay close attention to it. And in this case, it is the word salvation. What marvelous things he has done. The psalmist said he brought salvation, and he did so by his right hand and holy arm. What did God make known to his nations, to the nations? Salvation. How did God show his love and faithfulness? Salvation. God would intervene on behalf of his people by way of salvation, and it would be seen by the nations. There are multiple times that this happened in Israel's history. Let me give you just a few. How about Egyptian slavery? God saved the Israelites from the bondage of slavery in Egypt and did so through the leadership of Moses. Let's recall what the Egyptian priest said to Pharaoh as God poured out the plagues upon Egypt. This is what they said. This is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. God's fingerprint of salvation was all over his people. And so what did the surrounding nations say? Well, take the prostitute Rahab, for example. She was an Amorite, and the Amorites were descendants of the Canaanites who were enemies of the Israelites. So a lot of bites going on, all right? And she said this in Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. She said, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." And so even the enemies of Israel heard about God's salvation. And the psalmist says in our text, "All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And then there's the book of Judges. When you read this book, you see God remembering his people as they cried out to him in their oppression. And Judges 8 tells us a story of God's fingerprint of salvation by using Gideon. It's an amazing story. It is, I mean, you love underdog stories, huh? Anybody? I love underdog stories. My Wichita State Shockers. When they play, a lot of times they're the underdog. Back in 2013, they were the underdog, made it to the Final Four. Everyone, including you, were cheering for them, right? You didn't know me at the time in 2013, but you were cheering for my Shockers because you were cheering for the underdog. And they lost. All right, but anyway. But I love a good underdog story, and here it is of Gideon and his 300-man army. Conquering, defeating 135,000 Midianites who were enemies of the Israelites. Love that story. But you see how God remembered his people in their time of oppression. And then how about Judges 13 through 16 telling us the story of God's fingerprint of salvation as he used Samson to defeat the Philistines who were also enemies of the Israelites. And so the psalmist says in our text, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And then there's King Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah heard that the Assyrians were looking to conquer Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he tore his clothes. And he put on sackcloth, which was a moment, and when you read in Scripture, you see that this was his moment of grieving. And then he prayed to God. And guess what happened? God delivered. He delivered with his fingerprint of salvation by saving Jerusalem from the Assyrians. The psalmist says in our text, his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So the common thread of these three examples is God's fingerprint of salvation. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. And his fingerprint of salvation continues on in the New Testament age. And we, most all of us, I'm sure, are benefactors of that fingerprint of salvation. Brought to us by the power of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Everyone. Not just a few, not some, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, non-Jews, praise God. Huh? Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. All right, good. They're awake. Yeah, you will be saved. Why? Because God's fingerprint is upon it. Scripture tells us that we are sealed until the day of redemption. No one or no thing can take that away from us, our salvation, our redemption. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, sealed by the fingerprint of God. You know what? You're mine. You're sealed. My fingerprint is upon you. God's fingerprint of salvation is on you. Isn't that awesome to think about that? Wow. God raised him from the dead so that we will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the grip of death. Saved from the grip of sin. God is Savior. See, we have reason this morning to praise God for our salvation, don't we? In fact, Pastor Josh, if you would, why don't you just come? Pastor Josh, over the last few weeks, has been away on church camp, kids camp, youth camp. I commend you. I admire you for it. I remember those days. I paid my dues. No, I'm just and it's good to see you picking up that banner. No, I am. I'm proud of you and going and spending time with the kids and just seeing what God has done in their lives. I'm a big believer in camp, church camp. I believe in it. I've seen so many kids' lives change because of it. And so I'm a big champion for it. So thank you for leading our kids to that. But why don't you just share real quick what happened?
Yeah, we went to Camp Siloam, which is interesting. Lauren's grandma found a little history book of Eastside over the weekend. And we've been going since the 40s, probably, on off the 50s. So we've been sending people to Camp Siloam off and on since the 50s, which is amazing. And they celebrate 100 years next year, which is pretty amazing. And so Camp Siloam, they've had a lot of fun. The theme this year was about missions. And so we went through Bible study. We went through the life and ministry of Paul throughout the week. And the kids ate it up. It was amazing. We saw the kids unify. Got to see them connect with the Holy Spirit, connect with His presence. And lives were changed. We took 20-something children for a kids' camp back in June. Three of them gave their lives to the Lord, and two of them committed to be baptized. Mm. And then this past week, we brought about 30 kids to camp, students. Two of them gave their lives to the Lord, and one of them received a call to ministry.
Awesome.
So it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And so for those of you that have donated for scholarships for kids to go, we want to thank you for that. This is why we do it. This is why we give. This is why we give to the church. This is why we give donations. This is why we do scholarships. So kids can go to camp and get their lives changed for Christ, be saved, receive a call to ministry, and just connect the Holy Spirit. So thank you again for those of you who gave of your time, talents, and your treasures and your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Josh. Appreciate it. That's awesome. It's awesome. Sing to the Lord a new song, right? Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things, right? Isn't that exciting? I love it. God is Savior and God is King. Look at it with me in verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the who? King, the Lord. So the psalmist makes it tangible for us as he spoke of joyful singing and joyful shouting and joyful music, because God is Savior and God is King. See, singing, shouting, and music are consistent themes throughout Israel's history. Let me give you just an example of each. How about joyful singing in Exodus chapter 15? After the Israelites were let go by Pharaoh, he had a change of heart, and he and his army chased after the Israelites, only to be destroyed by the hand of God by way of the Red Sea crashing down on them. And so in Exodus 15, we see the people of God singing a song of joyful praise in response to God's fingerprint of salvation from Pharaoh. Why do we gather together in this place and sing songs? Is it just, well, I like that song, or I like that leader, I like that personally, I don't like that song, I don't, what? Why do we gather together on Sundays and sing songs? It's to praise him for his fingerprint of salvation on our lives. Joyful singing. Then there's joyful shouting in Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 1 through 3 says, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. So the people of God shouted for joy in response to God's fingerprint of salvation and deliverance. We too sing and shout for joy because God's fingerprint of salvation and deliverance from the death grip that sin had on our lives. For 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Apostle Paul said, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I remember, and I think I maybe have shared this story, but back when I was a youth pastor in Solemn Springs, we took every year a group of students on a two-week tour, all right, and it was a drama, worship team, a choir, praise choir, and so Cindy led the choir, and we had leaders leading the other stuff, and so it was such a good time every summer. And every summer we would go for about 2 weeks, and we would hit different churches along the way and do this presentation. And we saw God's hand move in a powerful way during some of those years. And every summer, or every time we did that, we would schedule a play day. Of course, you have to have a play day. And so that particular year, we went to Busch Gardens in Tampa Bay, Florida for our play day. Long story short, the students went into that park and on their own initiative, not encouraged at all, on their own initiative, began to share with people in that park about Jesus Christ. Began to share their faith with people in that park. It was an amazing move of God that I have never seen before. And honestly, Chad, were you there for that? It was before your time? Okay, yeah. It was, honestly, I've never seen something like it since. Students, teenagers, beginning to witness to people in a beer amusement park. And by the end of the day, again, long story short, by the end of the day, nearly 50 people had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amazing. And so they had the mind to get people's information. And so they got some, and some they didn't. And so we went back home. We reached out to those churches that we had in, or churches in the area, and gave them those names and numbers so that they might follow up on, because we weren't able to. But I remember we were in a convoy of vehicles. I was driving a van, and we were going to a church there in the area, because that's where we stayed the night. We slept on hard floors, okay? We didn't get bunk beds like you guys this past week. But we slept on hard floors, and so we're on our way to that church, and I called my pastor, and I began to share with him what had taken place. And he just began to have this joyful, like shouting taking place. It was like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was just overcame him with this joyful shouting that turned in, then I began to shout, and then it turned into holy laughter. We just began to break. I know it sounds kind of funny to you, but it was like the Holy Spirit just came down on us, and we were just giving him this joyful laughing and shouting of what he had done. Never experienced anything like that. I've never experienced anything like it since. It was an amazing move of God, and our response to that was this joyful laughing and shouting over cell phones. We had cell phones back then. Yeah, hard to believe. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that was, what, 2000, 1999, 2000, something like that, and I was calling him, so I had a cell phone. How about it? Wow. Joyful singing. Joyful shouting. Why? Because God is Savior, and God is King. And then there's joyful music in Psalm 150. In this last psalm of the book, the psalmist gives us a climactic conclusion, urging everything to praise the Lord, our God, our Savior, our King. And so the common thread was singing, shouting, and music as an expected expression of praise to God. Why? Because, again, He's Lord, He's Savior, He's King. And church, the same is expected of us today. We have plenty of reason to sing to God and to praise Him and to play instruments for Him. I so admire these people up here every single week playing instruments, something that I'm envious of because I'd love to do it. But I don't. But I admire it. They give of their time. You see many of them up here week after week after week playing an instrument. I'm so thankful for a worship team that can play instruments, stringed instruments, horns, cymbals, drums. So thankful for the ability and talent that God has given to these people to lead us and usher us into praise and worship of who God is, Savior and King. I'm so thankful for our vocalists that God has given them the ability to sing, to lead us and to usher us into God's presence and to praise Him for being God, our Savior and King. Amen, church? Don't take it for granted of what God has blessed this church with, and why we gather together to worship Him through singing, through shouting, through music, for all that He has done for us. God is Savior, God is King, and God is Judge. Look at verse 7. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And so the psalmist shifts the praise of God's people to the praise of God's creation. Creation cries out for God's judgment. So this is interesting. Because why in the world would judgment be a cause of praise and celebration? Because the God who is Savior, the God who is King, is one day coming to judge the world, and this future judgment will remove the oppression of evil and usher in the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. And creation will finally be released from the grip of evil. And so therefore, we can better understand what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:22 when he said this, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." So creation is in praise, and it's like you could say it's a futuristic praise of what is to come. They are giving praise. Creation is. There's a day coming, church. There is a day coming where there will be no more pain, there will be no more death, there will be no more sickness, no more tears, no more grief, no more evil. There is a day coming. And this is why creation cries out in praise to God for his coming judgment. And the psalmist also says that God will judge people with equity. What does that mean? It means that everyone will face judgment. No one will be exempt. The Bible says that every man wants to die, not wants, but wants to die. And then there's a very important second part to that. Every man wants to die, and then the judgment. So everyone will face judgment. A day is coming that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 that the sheep and the goats will be separated. And so the sheep represent all those who accepted Christ, and the goats represent all those who rejected Jesus Christ. That will be a very, on one hand, a day of celebration, and on the other hand, a very sobering day. So let me ask you a question. How would you answer the following? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? I talked with someone last week. I see her here in the place today. She came up to me last week and said, 3 weeks ago, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that as I was looking through Matthew chapter 25. And for this lady, 3 weeks ago, she crossed over from being a goat to a sheep. So exciting, and yet at the same time, so sad. People that maybe we know, family members that we love. And so how would you answer that question? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? And I pray that today would be your day of salvation and you would cross over from being a goat to becoming a sheep. Would you make that decision this morning? Those of you watching online, this is so much for you as well. I pray that you will make that decision. It's in the spirit of praise, church. Praise to God as Savior, God as King, God as Judge, that we thank him for his goodness, for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, for his kindness, for his compassion, for his victory, for his deliverance, for his salvation. Why we praise him. It's within the spirit of praise that we thank God for his faithfulness in our lives, for his faithfulness in our families, for his faithfulness in our church, past, present, future. We thank him. We see his fingerprint of salvation all over us. And that is why we gather together on Sundays to offer our humble praise and our adoration. God's fingerprint of salvation. The goodness of God. What came to your mind at the beginning of this message? What came to your mind? What comes to your mind now? Aren't you glad that you have been saved and redeemed by a living, loving God? That he is preparing, as the scripture says, a place for you. And that one day you will be in eternity with him forever and ever and ever. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God that in spite of our sin, that he loved us that much, that he would make a way for us to live with him, to not only live with him forever, but to be right with him. The goodness of God. Psalm 150. I want to just pray this last chapter of Psalm over us. Psalm 150 that says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. Amen. So let's, in a spirit of praise, let's stand together and let's join in this song.